Dear sons and daughters, today we celebrate the third Sunday of Lent, and the journey towards Easter becomes more challenging for every Christian as we listen to the Word of God on Sundays and weekdays. The richness of the sacred text allows us to reflect seriously on what it means to be a Christian and to belong to the Church. This Sunday's Gospel shows us Jesus becoming rather upset about the behavior of those who had taken over the temple, which was the visible expression of faith in Israel. It had become a market, a place of immoral and dishonest gains, when in reality it was to be the place of praise, worship, thanksgiving, and prayer. This was a cue of Jesus to bring his listeners to another and more important revelation, that is, of his mission, which entails the destruction of the temple of his body, a clear reference to his impending death on the cross, and its reconstructions, namely his resurrection. We must be reminded that Lent is really a journey in which we are called to discover the meaning of our baptism, which made us participate once and for all in the Paschal mystery of Jesus. That is why, at the beginning of Lent, the Church invites us to pray, "Grant, O Lord, that through the observance of Lent, we may gain a great understanding of the mystery of Christ in our lives and be worthy witnesses." This prayer expresses the meaning of the Lenten journey, provided that we understand the term understanding not only in an intellectual sense, but in the broad sense that touches every aspect in our lives. We are called upon to enter into the mystery of Christ and to understand the way he lived, and the heart, with the heart to feel the love that he showed us and gave us the desire and the freedom to decide to imitate his way of life. Gradually we discover that this entering into the mystery of Jesus is nothing more than to live our baptism, that is, to find ourselves increasingly like in Jesus, to feel that his way is seeing and dealing with his with life is what we seek. After being with Jesus in the desert, we discovered that he too was confronted with the beast who threaten us, and the power of evil that leads us away from God. After being with him on the Mount of the Transfiguration, we hear the voice from the cloud that establishes him as the beloved Son and commands us to listen while pointing the way to him. Today in the Gospel of John, we encounter Jesus in the Temple of Jerusalem, where he reacts with anger, a behavior which is puzzling to us because it is not ordinary in his life. What aspect of the mystery of Jesus help us to meditate on and understand this story of the Gospel? At first, a spontaneous reaction is to think of the humanity of Jesus, who, like all of us, loses his patience and gets angry when confronted with something that does not correspond with his views and his expectations. In recognizing this aspect of Jesus' humanity, we must do as the disciples did after the resurrection. They remembered Jesus' gesture of that day in the temple and understood it in the light of the psalm, "The zeal of your house will consume me." We do see in this gesture a light that illuminates the whole mystery of the life of Jesus. His life was truly consumed by zeal for the Father, and he is deeply experienced in obedience to the Father, so far as to give his whole self to carry out his Father's plan. In the dialogue between Jesus and the Jews, who ask about his actions in the temple, Jesus responds by identifying the temple with his body. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." It was normal that the Jews did not understand, but for us Christians who hear these words after the resurrection, the message is loud and very clear. Why do we enter the temple? We search for communion with God and ask for forgiveness of sins. Jesus spoke of the temple of his body. When he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said, and they believed the scriptures and the words of Jesus. The context of Easter shows us exactly the meaning of the expressions and especially the attitude of Christ. He wants us to possess a sincere faith. We may believe that our faith is sincere, but then realize that our interests are not exclusively of our spiritual and religious nature. That is why Jesus responds to this way of understanding faith. He knows what is in the heart of every person. Jesus may not have read a sincere faith and openness to real dialogue with God in the hearts of those people. He asked them to question their faith and to account for their immoral actions. The texts of the Gospel of today help us to understand the scope of the behavior of Jesus and especially the meaning of his mission. The zeal that animated Jesus Christ in denouncing everything that contradicted faith and true worship is also strong within us. This zeal affects our moral choices in life. We refer to the Ten Commandments in the first reading today. This fundamental law of nature cannot be disregarded by anyone, and a true believer must adapt as much as possible to these basic rules of human, social, and religious life. Otherwise, we are likely to deviate individually and collectively. Through analysis of today's world and society in which we live, we may say that the Ten Commandments are greatly disregarded. We realize that the world needs a profound conversion. All these things and questionings is most convincing and paradoxical in the mystery of Christ who died for our salvation. The Apostle Paul expressly reminds the Christians of Corinth of this in his first letter, which we hear today in the second reading. The wisdom of Christ is manifested in the irony of the symbol of the cross. The cross was considered the most horrible object in the eyes of a Roman. And for the pious Jews, it was a symbol of divine damnation. But for Jesus' contemporaries, this must have been a major scandal. Who would imagine that the cross would become a symbol of the wisdom of God and Christianity? Certainly not humankind, but it did occur to God. Before the image of the crucified Christ, Human wisdom will either fall on its knees in an attitude of knowledgement and a mysterious and superior science. No one who was crucified before was able to make of the cross his throne and his scepter. Only Christ was able to accomplish such an impossible transformation. He changed a symbol of disgrace into a symbol of power. In fact, for those of us who believe, the cross is the power of God. The fundamental truth of our faith, by which we understand all things of Christ, the church, and humanity, is the fundamental reason for the holiness of the faithful, who, looking upon of our crucified Christ, agree to this test of love. The wisdom of the cross frees the heart from all selfishness and vanity, recovering a sincere faith and a deep bond with the church, the mystical body of Christ. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. World without end. Amen.